Our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. From what great nation is there that has a God so near to it, as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words might be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Yes,
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he has entered into the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Psalm 69. He dies for lack of discipline. Because of his great folly, he is led astray. Proverbs 5. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 9. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 18. I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly. Ecclesiastes 7. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Ecclesiastes 10. Well aware that those quotes might apply against me, the Bible nevertheless has a deep strain of making distinctions between wisdom and folly, between understanding and wickedness. So hear Jesus' words in that context. So are you also without understanding? From within, out of the heart of man, come evil designs. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. We live in an age that in general makes no moral distinctions about desires and actions. Whatever floats your boat is about the closest to a moral language that we can come. Parents, at least good ones, will still go to the effort to encourage good desires and steer their children away from bad ones. But the culture at large would label that as a squelching of creativity, or even worse, a repression. And we are shocked and dismayed, or at least our media and culture generators are shocked when somebody goes and shoots people. What happened? What can we do to stop it? I think Jesus would label that reaction foolishness. And the actions that foolishness inevitably generates are wickedness. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, foolishness is the beginning of wickedness. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Jesus' list of defilements in Mark's gospel is unique. In Matthew's parallel, he trims the list from the 12 items to 7. And Matthew clearly puts them in order of the second table of the commandments. The evil designs are all given form in a trespassing of the commandments. But Mark's list asks us to hear. Like Jesus at the beginning, hear me and understand. We need to read it closer. And I'm sorry about this, but a major part of understanding some of it comes from the original language. The first part is Jesus' flat statement, as our translators have it, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts. Thoughts is dialogismoi, at the root, which you might hear and recognize logos. When John says, in the beginning was the Word, that is logos. Logos is a loaded word. English's thoughts is a little too pale, because we like to maintain firm boundaries between thoughts and actions. We tend to think that one doesn't necessarily lead to another one. We say one can think bad things all the time and then not act upon them. The Greeks were a little less foolish. Out of the heart of a man come evil designs. Thoughts, plans, intended actions. Designs. And Jesus proceeds to break those designs into two groups. The first six words in Jesus' list of evil designs are all plural nouns. They are very specific and well-defined actions. Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings. Notice that these are all basically that second table of the Ten Commandments. These are the things we break and can break repeatedly. Plural. They are actions that we take definitively. And Jesus ends that list with a more general word that sums them up. Wickedness. Now, we live in a time that doesn't recognize the wickedness of all of them. But even in our day, the truth of these things is rarely directly countered. But Jesus continues his list with six more items. And all of these are singular nouns or adjectives. They're not so much direct actions that we might take, but states of being. Deceitfulness, sensuality, envious, slanderer, pridefulness. Being these things, being a person who inhabits these things, is foolishness. As the teacher of Ecclesiastes said, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Foolishness leads to wickedness. Paul and James, the most unlikely biblical pair, both echo the same phrase, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we stop there, that just puts us back on par with the Pharisees. Even Jesus would say that if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, it was a backhanded compliment. Jesus could recognize that in a foolish way, the Pharisees were righteous. And that those who would actually enter the kingdom of God could be superficially less so. After all, it would be the prostitutes and the tax collectors who would flock to Jesus. If we stop at just a good understanding of sin, we haven't heard Jesus. All these things proceed from the evil within, and they defile a person. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil designs. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Wickedness and even foolishness are not just problems of doing better, at least not initially. And that is probably where the prostitutes and tax collectors heard it, while the Pharisees didn't. If we think of ourselves, as most of us probably do, as fine, upstanding people, admitting that about ourselves, what Jesus says is inside of us is stern medicine. No, Jesus, that doesn't come from inside of me. I'm fine. It's not me, or at least not the real me. I just need to be myself. Be true to myself, and I will be a much better person. Isn't that the advice that we always give? Just be yourself. that Jesus' words are given to his disciples. He was explaining the parable to them privately, naturally, out of you, out of our hearts, out of our true self, come these evil designs. When everybody is already telling you that, as they would have been telling the tax collectors and the prostitutes, we might be past denial and already to acceptance. The real question, though, is why Jesus was different. Why would the sinners flock to Jesus but avoid the Pharisees? And here is what Jesus most wants us to hear and understand. Listening to the Pharisees would ultimately have been inconsequential. The best the tax collector could hope for would to have been an ex-tax collector. Likewise, the ex-prostitute. But Jesus opens the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Rise and walk, your sins have been forgiven. He cast out the unclean spirit, and that day the village came and saw the demon-possessed man clothed and sitting there next to Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. Jesus opens the kingdom to us, to sinners. He doesn't skimp on the call to repent. He calls foolishness foolishness and wickedness wickedness. In fact, he's often tougher than the Pharisees. It comes from within. The old Adam needs to daily be drowned. But with Jesus, the word doesn't end there. He doesn't have evil designs, but he has designs to give us an inheritance. Hear me, all of you, and understand. The love of God surpasses our understanding. He wants to take our hearts of stone, from which all of these evil desires come forth, and replace them with a heart of flesh. He wants to take away the mind that invents ways of doing evil and give us the mind of Christ. And eventually, this flesh too will be stripped away and will be recreated in that resurrection body. And he does all of this through the cross. That forever symbol of what our natural selves would do. Take the innocent and run nails through it. It's also the reality of how far God would descend to restore those who will hear. I go down to Sheol, and you are there. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. You were bought with a price. You were freed from your evil designs, and the Spirit dwells in you, giving you the first real choice in your life. Hear this and understand. No longer walk in your own designs, but in the footsteps of the one who called you into his marvelous light. Put on the full armor of God, that you may stand firm. That you might stand against the designs of the devil, because you are the one he's after, calling you back towards that foolishness, back towards wickedness. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, praying at all times. You've put those evil designs behind you. Don't turn back now. hear, and understand. Amen.